اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين لا يرجون لقاءنا ورضوا بالحياة الدنيا واطمأنوا بها والذين هم عن آياتنا غافلون أولئك مأواهم النار بما كانوا يكسبون. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات يهديهم ربهم بإيمانهم تجري من تحتهم الأنهار تجري من تحتهم الأنهار في جنات النعيم. دعواهم فيها سبحانك اللهم وتحيتهم فيها سلام وآخر دعواهم أن الحمد لله وآخر دعواهم أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. ولو يعجل الله للناس الشر استعجالهم بالخير ولو يعجل الله للناس الشر استعجالهم بالخير لقضي إليهم أجلهم فنذر الذين لا يرجون لقاءنا في طغيانهم خير الذين لا يرجون لقاءنا في طغيانهم يعمهون. وإذا مس الإنسان الضر دعانا لجنبه أو قاعدا أو قائما فلما كشفنا عنه ضره مر كأن لم يدعنا إلى ضر مسه. كذلك زين للمسرفين ما كانوا يعملون. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. We'd like to congratulate all the brothers and sisters and above all the Imam of our time on the occasion of the birth of the Lady Zainab Salamullahi Alayha Aqilatu Bani Hashim, the lady that is known by her patience, her perseverance on the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to help us with drawing from that perseverance of Zainab Salamullahi Alayha and to be able to get close to the Imams and the Prophet and the Lady Fatima al-Zahra following the path of Zainab in that regard. The Lady Zainab is seen as a person that is the reflection of Imamah. She's seen in light of the sun at her time, Imam al-Husayn, salamullah alayhi, and not independently, in light of her brother Imam al-Hasan as an imam, because he was an imam, not because he was her brother. Amir al-Mu'mineen, she was seen in light of Amir al-Mu'mineen, as Amir al-Mu'mineen was the imam. And even regarding her mother, Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, the few years that she had with that great, noble, and blessed mother, she's seen in light of that mother as Fatima al-Zahra is Sayyidatu Nisa al-Alameen. Zainab sees that. And so she sees herself not independent, but as someone who follows her mother, not because she's simply her mother, but rather because she's Sayyidatu Nisa' al-Alamin. Similarly, regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, when she was young, pretty much the same years, same number of years she had with the Prophet were the same number of years she had with her mother, because her mother was martyred only in a matter of months after the demise of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. So she only saw a couple of extra months of her mother. And regarding to the Prophet, in regards to the Prophet, obviously Zainab salamullah alayha sees herself as someone who follows the Prophet, so she's seen in light of the Prophet and as an extension, as a manifestation, as someone reflecting the light of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. There's much regarding Zainab salamullah alayha that has not been discussed, although there are certain areas that are mentioned repeated. But Zainab salamullah alayha remains as a madlumah after her demise, after her martyrdom, after her shahada, in her jihad fi sabilillah during those difficult times, as she is still not known to those who love her. She is not known to the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt that admire her. We don't know her, and we need to know her. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. One of the areas that we can focus on and try to develop a certain level of understanding regarding the lady Zainab salamullahi alayha is what was read of Surah Yunus. We read verses 7 through 112. Excuse me, through 12. 7 through 12. We read. And you can see Zainab is an exemplary model of someone who has reflected this. In that, for instance, verses 7 and 8, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا. Zainab is someone who has read this. Those that do not wish, do not want, do not have hope of meeting God, لِقَاءَنَا, وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They were pleased with the life, the lower or the lowest life. Hayatul dunya means the lowest life. وَطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا. They depended on it. They relied on it. They felt secure towards it. Something that is insecure, something that is finite, something that will end, something that does not continue to exist. They relied on it. They saw it as, they saw something which is not stable as stable, and they relied on it. Those who have this quality, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ. Those who are غافل, they are negligent of our signs, they are the ones who are in hellfire. Zainab reads this and she makes sure she's not one of them. She moved away from this. Not only that, her voice could be heard. Those who preferred the life, the lowest life, رضوا بالحياة الدنيا, after Karbala, when she entered Kufa, those people knew what they did. But they were pleased with what they did because it gave them the life of this world. They had a choice. They had a choice to give up the life of this lowest form of life, Hayat al-Dunya. And to go through difficulty in this Hayat al-Dunya for the Akhirah, to meet Allah, They chose radhu bil hayat ad-dunya. When Zainab approached them, she mentioned that to them. Shame on you. She identifies Muslimin who radhu bil hayat ad-dunya. These verses are for us, brothers and sisters. Zainab recited these verses, presented the meanings in these verses in Kufa to Muslimin, to those who even understood themselves to be of the Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Some of them were people who had big claims of tashayyu'. True, they didn't join the other army, that's not the point. They didn't come and help Hussein. Radu bil hayat ad-dunya. And we see this verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. Such beautiful words of the Quran. You see this in Zainab, Salamullahi alayha. Those who believe in عَمَلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, from the beginning to the end, Zainab is one who has done عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, an example of this. What happens? يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. Their Lord guides them through their iman. You see Zainab. Zainab is guided by Allah. Allah guides her through her iman. Salamullahi alayha. Things she said, she did. The understanding she had, the basira she had. Where did that come from? Where can it come from? Right here. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. It is impossible for a person who is a mu'min, male or female, and they do this, عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. They do what God has said to do. They actually perform that every step of the way, and they are not negligent of their takleef. They don't miss on any amalun salih except that they do it. Committing sins is not amalun salih. It's the opposite of it. Amalun salih is in the context of sin is to avoid it. Amalun salihat. It is impossible for a person to have this quality, and this verse not be true about them, that God guides them through their iman. It's impossible for a real mu'min that acts according to what God said, for them not to have basira. It's impossible. See, this person is mu'min, but they didn't have basira. Why didn't they have basira? Why didn't they have insight? Why didn't they realize what the right thing to do would be? It's because they didn't do this, because otherwise if you do it, God says, يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. There must have been deficiency. A deficiency that is punishable. If we see people, ulama, houses students, anyone, throughout history and today, and this isn't to condemn them, it is for us to condemn ourselves, but also if we see them as influencers, if we see that they don't have basira, that's it. That means there's an issue with their iman and amal al-salihah. Doesn't matter who it is and what their track record is. We don't know everything. God knows the unseen. But when you see clearly this is the path of haq, that person is going a different way. You see, oh, they didn't have basira, they couldn't see. Well, why didn't they have basira? They should have had basira. If they were all that great, then they would have had basira. If they didn't have basira, they didn't have insight, they couldn't see, then there's a problem there. Otherwise, God says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. In the context of Karbala, yes, there was fitna, yes, there was everything that was there. What happened to God? God was there. God is the one who helped those who joined Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. Zainab's husband did not come. He didn't have basira. It's his problem. He's got a problem that he doesn't have basira. Zainab didn't sacrifice her basira because of any relationship, because of hayat al-dunya, to keep the family together, to do this, to do that. She did it in the right way, of course. She spoke to her husband. Her husband, because of the way she spoke to him, didn't have a problem with him in the with her in the end leaving. She did her, even in that regard, in her family relationship, she did it in the right way, in the most perfect way. But many others, because of their husbands, because of their wives, because of their children, this is hayat al-dunya. They left radu bil hayat al-dunya for one of these reasons. Keep the family together compared to do what God says. You want to keep the family together at the cost of Hussein getting slaughtered? What type of understanding is this? Oh, let others go. I have to do this. Who said you have to do that? Radu bil hayat al-dunya, that's what it is. Zainab could have, but no. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. She did what she had to, and as a result, God guided her every step of the way because she consistently did آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. You see, that's very true. Every step of the way, performing perfectly. Perfection is what you see in the conduct of Zainab. Did that come from her, or was that guidance from God? It's guidance from God. Why? Because amanu wa amilu salihat. Because when God showed her the guidance, she did it. She believed it is from Him, and we must do it. What about this? What about that? يهديهم ربهم بإيمانهم تجري من تحتهم الأنهار في جنات النعيم. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about their outcome, where they end up, what happens to them. These people that do not allow for this dunya, this life, this lowest form of life, to prevent them from remembering Allah and meeting the Lord, and they're willing to go through whatever hardship it is in this lowest life, their outcome is تجري من تحتهم الأنهار. Streams will be running from beneath them in جنات النعيم. Gardens filled with blessings and bounties. And then description that I think I've discussed this maybe once before, some other time. That's for the hereafter. I want to talk about the aspects, not where they're going to end up, but in this world, what they did, what they were and what they weren't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us some very important things. Zainab is an exemplary model of this. He says in verse 11, وَلَوْ يُعَجِّلُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ أَشَّرَّ اسْتِعْجَالَهُمْ بِالْخَيْرِ لَقُضِيَ إِلَيْهِمْ أَجَلُهُمْ فَنَذَرُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. What a great teaching. If God wanted to hasten for people the shar that they're working towards, hasten it for them the way they want khair. They want good. What good they understand. And bad people are looking for that shar. What's bad for them, they consider it good. They want it. They want money. At whatever cost. It's the money that they want. That money in itself is shar. The money itself and wanting it. Desiring that money, that being your goal, this is shar. It's not good. It's going to come whether you want it or not. That's your rizq. God's going to give it to you. And it's not bad in and of itself. Desiring it, wanting it, having it as your goal, that is shar. They really want it. If God knows, that's shar for them. And they identify as khair. They want things very, and people generally, we want khair and we want it quickly. We're at a rush. We're always rushing to get to, we can't wait for good things. People generally, they would like to have the good things they want sooner rather than later. That says, لَوْ يُعَجِّلُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ الشَّرِّ. If God wanted to hasten for people bad things the way they want good things, لَقُضِيَ إِلَيْهِمْ أَجَلُهُمْ. God would have ended the lives of those people, or of people in general. فَنَذَرُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. But we're not doing that. What are we doing? We have left. We leave. الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا. Those who don't have the hope of seeing us, of meeting us. This is the second time it's repeated here. This is an important code here God is giving us. الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا. Make sure you have hope of meeting the Lord at the moment of death and onwards. فَنَذَرُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. We let them be in their طُغْيَان, in their enjoying this material realm that they want. It's through rebellion against God. We let them continue their rebellion. Okay, we could have not done that. We could have quickly ended it and get them to let them enjoy this that they want. There's a lot to say about this verse. A lot of very deep meanings in it for a variety of different contexts and conditions that we're in. One of them, at least, is for us. One of them is for us. And the part which is for us, meaning those who have accepted Allah as their Lord, with whatever deficiency, we hope that Allah accepts us as just even bare minimum iman, brothers and sisters. We pray, we ask, we beg Him. I say, with all the shortcomings, I hope you accept me as just bare minimum iman. We hope so. We hope that we're not assuming that we have that. We hope that Allah at least accepts that degree of iman from us. There's two aspects that this verse speaks to us as mu'mineen. One is that don't expect that if you do wrong, that there's going to be suddenly some consequence ending your life here. No. Be warned that if you go off path, and you will know you go off path, okay? God is not going to, nobody's going to go off path without knowing that they're going off path. They will know. They will know that they need to do something, they reject that, they go off course. Okay. After doing that, we have trouble accepting guilt, accepting blame, accepting that we have done wrong, and then we do another wrong, and then another wrong, and then another wrong. One of the things we start telling ourselves, and we see people having told themselves, people who used to be close, the likes of Zubayr, that were close to Ali ibn Abi Talib, that were close to the Prophet, they told themselves this. They thought that they're doing, not that they thought they're doing well in terms of being confused whether they're doing right. No, one of the things they fooled themselves with after knowing they did wrong is that if they're continuing their life and some hardship, calamity is not coming their way, then God is okay with them. No, this is a very important reminder for us. Doing well in life here does not mean God is okay with you. فَنَذَرُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. The worst of the people, people who don't even desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, clearly disbelieving, rejecting the hereafter and everything, God says, فَنَذَرُهُمْ. We leave them, let them enjoy this, let them graze like cattle. We created them as humans. They want this. رَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. I will give it to them. I'll let them enjoy. We'll leave them. This is an important warning, an important teaching for us not to fool ourselves after doing wrong. If we do wrong, acknowledge, return, repent, ask for forgiveness, beg for forgiveness, admit that I was wrong. That's one important teaching for us. Another important teaching as believers from this is to know that just because we're believers and God says, I'm with you, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu, it doesn't mean that suddenly all your enemies, the kuffar and the fusaq, are suddenly going to be destroyed in this. No, that's not how it works. فَنَذَرُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. We leave them. In Surah At-Tariq, Allah has a beautiful set of lines that focuses on this aspect of the teaching. It says, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. The kuffar, the ones that are described here as الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا, they يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا, they are plotting a serious plot. Okay. إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا, they verily are seriously plotting. Then he says, وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا, I am seriously plotting. Then he says this, فَمَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ, so give the kafirin muhla, or time. Give them time. I'll let them be. Why? أَمْهِلْهُمْ, I'm giving them ruwaida, a little bit of time. It's not too much. Even the centuries that they're in power, in cases where that happens. Okay. It's ruwaida, it's a little bit. It's a little bit of time. This is an important teaching. When Zainab salamullahi alayha went to Karbala, she didn't have an expectation from God, oh, we're on the right side, now suddenly the whole scene should change, everybody on the other side should... No, she's been through this many times. After the demise of the Prophet, she saw what happened. Well, those are the ones who led it. Although they expressed iman, what they did was treason against Islam, against the Prophet, against the Qur'an. And they were الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا. Clearly. He saw that. What happened? Did the earth just open up? These were the best of people. After the Prophet is Fatima al-Zahra and Amir al-Mu'mineen in Hasanain. Four ma'asum there in that house. They came with fire. We're approaching Fatimiyya. And inshallah next week we'll be commemorating Fatimiyya. The Shahada, the first Fatima, the Shahada of Fatima to Zahra, salamullahi alayha. The best of the world, four of the Ma'sumin in one house, they came with fire to that door. Zainab doesn't expect, we're on the right path, they're clearly doing wrong, they're going to disappear all of a sudden. No. She understands this. فَنَذَرُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُمْ. Or as we were reading in Surah Tariq, it says, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. Yes, that's their plot. It's a serious plot. They've been plotting. وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. I am plotting as well. And so since I am plotting, you mu'mineen, I'm telling you, مَهِلِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Give them time. Don't worry about it. Give them time. Wait. أَمْهِلْهُمْ. I've given them time. Why should I give them time? Because I've given them time. Ruwaida, a little bit, not much. When Zainab in Karbala sees that, she's not expecting, oh, that they're going to be disappearing, destroyed all of a sudden. Some mountain crashing on them, some meteorite, some comet crashing into them, some angels coming, some jinn coming, something being there, destroying. She's pleased with whatever Allah has. And one of the things she knows is what the Quran has, what God has said in the Quran. فَنَذَرُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا فِي طُغْيَانَهُمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. We need to learn that from Zainab. When she goes from city to city to Sham, in the court of Yazid, these best of people, this is the household of Nubuwwah. It's an Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn, and the sister and the daughter of Ma'sumin, along with the others, the family members of the Ma'sumin, and they are being brought in chains, and the noble head of Imam al-Husayn before Yazid, and then this huge celebration, this structure, the architecture of this court of Yazid. They are sitting on the throne, these mal'uneen, rejoicing, and the family of the Ahlul Bayt is coming as captives. Okay, how does Zainab salamullahi alayha deal with this in terms of seeing what's happening, God being in charge? Why is this happening to us? Is that her thought process? The way we, the slightest problem hits us, why is this happening to us? No, she's looking at the Quran. She knows what God has said. فَنَذَرُ, she's looking at them. She's looking at Yazid. And she sees, فَنَذَرُ, we have left them. Let them enjoy this for whatever time we give them. We have given them time. مَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ, give them time, because أَمْهِلْهُمْ, I have given them time. رُوَيْدَ, don't worry. The last verse that we will read, that Zainab salamullahi alayha is a manifestation of this. She's an exemplary model, someone who has implemented this at a level that we need to look up to her. It says, وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ الضُّرُ. It's interesting, it doesn't say mu'min, kafir. It says insan. إِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ. Of course, if it's a real mu'min, this doesn't happen. But those who claim to have iman, like me, and anyone that is like myself. إِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ الظُّرْ. When some loss comes into contact with us, we are hit by something. دَعَانَا لِجَنْبِهِ أَوْ قَاعِدًا أَوْ قَائِمًا. While laying down, if they're ill, let's say one of the areas, we're in the context of COVID, we're at another spike in this country. The world is going through these spikes. Certain places get it first and then other places. So after some other countries, now this country is going through a spike, and it's, I don't know how far up the numbers are going to go. But people, when they're hit with this, or any health problem or issue, لِجَنْبِهِ, they're lying, دَعَانَا, they call upon us. أَوْ قَاعِدًا, or they're sitting, they can't perhaps lay down, or they can't stand, they're in the sitting position, دَعَانَا, they speak to us, they call us. أَوْ قَائِمًا, or when they're standing, and they're still standing, but they're seeing things happening to them, in that position, whatever position, these different positions, when that dhur comes your way, when that loss comes your way, the human being is such da'ana. They call on us, say, God, please help me. Please, I beg you, I plead to you. And then we mention everything. By the right of Jesus, some people call on Jesus himself. By the right of the Ahlul Bayt, calling on the Ahlul Bayt as Shufa'a, as Wasila, Tawassul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ya Fatima to Zahra. Because these are only Wasila, they don't have anything of themselves. This is an example of Da'ana. We're calling on Allah, we're taking someone as a Wasila. So we're saying, God, I beg you by the right of this person, that person. But then, فَلَمَّا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُ ضُرَّهُ. When we relieve them of that loss, مَرَّ كَأَن لَّمْ يَدْعُنَا إِلَى ضُرٍّ مَسَّهُ. They go on with life, they pass by the مَرَّ كَأَن لَّمْ, as though they had never spoken to us, as though they never realized that I am in need of help. I am dependent. And there is an Almighty God. And I call them. They go as though they never called us for a dhur, for a loss that had come their way. كَذَلِكَ زُيِّنَ لِلْمُسْرِفِينَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. This is how for the transgressors, what they're doing has been glorified in their eyes, has been glamorized in their eyes. They feel good about what they're doing. In this way, they realize it. See, this is an example of what was being said. You're not going to change course without knowing it. God put them in a position. They realized their deficiency. They called upon God. Then God removed that difficulty from them. Then again, they went back. They know what they did. They pass by this incident, wanting to forget it, as though, why? Because they look at what they're doing. They see what they're doing as being great for themselves, not great in the sense of being haq. No, they're not looking for haq. They're looking for what they desire, what they want, what they think is best for them in this life. We're talking about the same people. رَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, whatever degree, even those who identify themselves as Muslimin. So this is another important verse. And Zainab reads this, and she makes sure she's not of these. And this is a warning for us all. We consider ourselves mu'mineen. We go through difficulties. God gives us these difficulties. And we beg Him. We plead to Him. Then when it's over, we go back to our normal ways. Our normal ways are not good. And then that's one of the other things. زُيِّنَ لِلْمُسْرِفِينَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Unfortunately, I have some level of israf in me, God forbid. Some level of transgression. When I hit those difficult times, I'm reminded, oh my God, the virus, I could actually die right now. It's very serious. So I start pleading to Allah, give me some more time. I'll fix myself up, this, that, the other. Afterwards, I forget. I go back to what I was. I'm content with all the transgressions, all the sins, all the muharramat, all the disrespect, all the preference given to the material life, to this lowest life. Zainab salamullahi alayha wa ruhi fidaha. This great lady, ruhi fidaha. Imagine coming back from Karbala. Coming back from Karbala. And at least those conditions, yes, the losses were there, and they're not coming back in this world. Her brother is not coming back in this world. She will meet him in the hereafter, meaning at the moment of death onwards. But she's not going to have Imam al-Hussein with her anymore. Those losses are there. But in terms of the difficulties that they were in, they were sent after Sham with respect because of how they behaved. They turned the tides. They changed things against what Yazid wanted, and he had to treat them with respect. They were sent after Karbala back to Medina. So now those difficulties are gone. They're now at ease. I hope we understand this correctly. It doesn't mean everything has been now returned to them. But there's a difference between being taken from city to city as a war captive and going back home, with whatever the conditions back home are. If you have had similar experiences, you know what I mean. Whatever it is, it's better than being taken from. It's a level of ease and comfort. When she gets there, after all the difficulties that we just can't get our heads around even, what happens? She prayed to Allah so much. Obviously, that's the one she could speak to. That's the one she relied on. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one that she had her tawakkul in. And she complained too in regards to what the kuffar and munafiqeen were doing to her and to her family. And asking Allah for relief, as she was commanded to do that. All mu'mineen are told, when you're in difficulty, ask Allah for relief. Be pleased with that condition, but ask Allah for relief. The relief was given, the return to Medina. What does she do? She has read this, she sees, لَمَّا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُ ضُرَّهُ مَرَّ كَأَنْ لَمْ يَدْعُنَا إِلَى ضُرٍّ مَسَّهُ. She doesn't want to be one of them. She doesn't want to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this to her, and therefore she is responsible towards Him. He is the Lord. Now that she's at ease, she's not going to prefer رَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, prefer the life of this dunya, this world. She's not going to do that. So as soon as there was an opportunity, there was a time where it was her taklif again to speak out against Yazid in the context of Waqatul Harra, things that led to that, she spoke out. But why are you speaking out now? You've done enough. You went to Karbala. You lost your father. You lost your mother. You lost your brothers. You lost your son. You lost this. You lost that. It's enough. Sit at home. Relax. Last days of your life. She says, no, I'm not one of those that radu bil hayat ad-dunya. And then God gave me this ease. Now I forget as though I never called Him. I don't see Him as the Lord. I don't see Him as the Almighty. And I'm only a slave to Him. It's a condition, it's my taklif to speak out against Yazid. Again, whatever the consequences are, they sent her to exile, to Egypt first. There she continued. They sent her to Sham, to the capital. And there she met her Lord. She was of those that other verses say, I'm not finding it here. The opposite of الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا, the opposite is الَّذِينَ يَرْجُونَ. We have in the last verse of Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. There are those that have hope, they want to meet their Lord. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with a better understanding of Zainab salamullahi alayha. We ask Allah to bless us with the blessings of Zainab salamullahi alayha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please her heart from us by giving us the tawfiq to do what pleases God. She is a servant of Allah, following the footsteps of her mother. If her mother was such a servant and slave to Allah that whatever God is pleased with, she is pleased with. And therefore, if Zahra is pleased with anything, it's a reflection, it's telling us, it's showing us, it's a sign that God is pleased with that. That's how close she is. That's how Fatimah al-Zahra is. Zainab is the daughter of that Zahra. So her being pleased with us can only happen if we do things that God would be pleased with us. And her being pleased with us is a sign of God being pleased with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah to help us become His true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah to grant all believers their hajat, their needs, their requests. Give us all the comfort and security of being able to maneuver in life, communicate with people, see people, congregate as we used to, the blessing that you had given us, and we weren't thankful, we didn't appreciate it, you temporarily took it away from us. We can't see each other because of this virus in different ways. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this obstacle for us to be able to see each other, to convene, to have congregations. We want to pray as you like us to pray together in congregation. We want to see each other at each other's homes. You have told us, Ya Allah, through the Imams, that if we travel from one corner of the city to the other, if we drive for an hour and a half, 2 hours, to see another brother across the city, on the other side of the city, that as Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi has said, you are visiting God. Okay. You have told us this, Ya Allah. We ask you to give us the tawfiq through removing this condition for us to be able to visit our brothers, our sisters. And we make a pledge to you that if you remove this dhur that we're all dealing with, we're calling upon you, we're making a pledge, and we're asking you for the tawfiq to carry it out. And that is, once you remove this, we pledge we won't forget that we called upon you, and we will be more serious about our takalif towards you, and serving you, serving the Imam, serving your cause. We ask Allah, by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt, to remove all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Alih, Rahimallah, man qara al-Fatihata ma'as-salawat.